You all walk on holy ground. We all walk on holy ground. Why do we say that? To say that, we need to have two qualifications. One is I should be a spiritual seeker. And the second is I should know that everywhere we step is holy ground, because everything is Brahman, everything is that. So that understanding one should have, that wherever I go, whatever I do, whoever I deal with, wherever I step, everything is the Lord Himself and nothing else. Reminds me of a beautiful story. So there was this great devotee of Bhagwan Sri Ram. Wherever he went, always Jai Sri Ram, Jai Sri Ram, always, you know, with great faith, great enthusiasm, great attention. One time he was in the bathroom. This was a public bathroom, and he was there, and there was a man standing outside, and he, in the bathroom, he says, Jai Sri Ram. So this man standing outside was also a Ram Bhakta. He says, shame on this guy. Even the bathroom is mentioning Lord's name. He was very angry. He was a wrestler. He was a very strong guy, the guy standing outside. So when he, and he was also a Ram Bhakta. So when he came out, he took a blow and hit him as hard as he could. And this man just walked like nothing has happened. He said, nobody has ever been able to withstand my blow, and nothing happened to this guy. Anyway, so he used the restroom. And then next day, this outside guy was doing Ram Puja. He used to do an hour, 2 hours every day. And with great devotion, he was doing Ram Puja and offering flowers and Avayami. He does, when he invokes, Bhagwan Sri Ram comes himself. He says, oh God, you are here. He can't believe it, with the bow and arrow, very radiant looking figure. And he bows down and he finds Ram is bending and, you know, walking like that with the bow and arrow. But he said, Bhagwan, what happened to you? How come? I thought you stand erect. He said, you hit me yesterday. So the point is that when we hurt a devotee of the Lord, we hurt the Lord himself. And the second point is that wherever it's okay, he said, my devotee remembers me when I don't have any problem. Why do you have a problem? So that idea is that wherever we are, God is everywhere. And so that is the essence of this seventh chapter, where he says, and whatever you see is my lower nature and my higher nature. My lower nature is the eightfold, air, space, fire, water, earth, mind, intellect, and ego. And my higher nature is the Purusha, the sentient, the insentient and the sentient. But there I am still beyond both. He is beyond Purusha and Prakriti. He is beyond the lower and higher nature. He is that which is beyond all that, which is called the Uttam Purush, which Bhagavan Sri Krishna calls in the 15th chapter. And he says, everything that you see is my creation. I am the womb of it. But yet I am beyond it. And that is the essence of this so far what we have done, that this knowledge, which is called Jnanam and Vijnanam. So whatever we have studied in the Bhagavad Gita, how do we adopt it in our life to grow, evolve? That is what the Gita is telling us. That's what Bhagavan is telling us, that do not just only listen to what I am saying, but bring it into your life. And as Guruji says, Swami Tejomayan, if you keep on doing what you have been doing, you will keep on getting what you have been getting. So if I want a different result in my life, if I want to grow or evolve, I have to make a substantial change in how I deal with the world and how I deal with people. So this is the essence of what we have done so far. One other point which I can just clarify again, where he talks about where I am beyond it, he says, I am the unconditioned consciousness, and I reflect in the mind and intellect, which is the conditioned consciousness, and the body is inert, but the mind and intellect. So the example that we had talked last week is like the sun. The sun is huge, it's unconditioned, it spreads for millions and millions of miles through the whole solar system. When it reflects in the mirror, which is a tiny mirror, and if that mirror happens to be at the right angle, it can illumine the room, and a dark room can be illumined by a mirror outside. Now, the mirror is the conditioned sun. Because in the mirror also you can see a small sun, and that sun is able to give enough light to illumine a dark room. But that total sun is not affected by what's happening in the mirror. If the mirror is clean, if the mirror is dirty, the sun is unaffected. The sun illumines, and it's up to the mirror how it can reflect the light. So similarly, our mind and intellect is reflecting that total consciousness, which is not only in this solar system, but all solar system. We'll talk about that. So this mind or intellect, if it is clean or dirty, just as the mirror, if it is clean or dirty, the reflection will be clean or dirty. So if the mind and intellect is not clean, then the reflection of consciousness will not be clean, and such actions will not be pure. But we are that limited, just as that mirror is a limited expression of that total consciousness. So you and I are this limited jiva, but ultimately we have to see the oneness, which again we'll talk about today, where how this Lord says, I am everywhere. I am everywhere, everything. And I am the one that is illumining and giving life to this whole universe. So chapter 7, verse number 7 is one of the very famous verses, which is quoted many times by all teachers. Many times anybody is giving a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, sooner or later this verse comes up. It's a beautiful verse, verse number 7. Mattah parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya mai sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva. Together, mattah parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya mai sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva. Beautiful verse. So matta means, this is the fifth case, comparative, than me, parataram, higher than me, na anyat kinchit, nobody, nothing is higher than me, no, nothing else. Anyat means other, kinchit means anybody, asti means is. O Dhananjaya, O Arjuna. The reason he's called Dhananjaya, because he was a great warrior, and when he had conquered a lot of kingdoms, and that's how he had expanded the empire of Hastinapur, and so he had collected a lot of wealth. So that's why he's called Dhananjaya. That was one of his names. He had many other names, Partha and Arjuna and all that. So greater than me, beyond me, there is nothing, nobody in this entire universe, O Dhananjaya, O Arjuna. But then how are you supporting, holding everybody? Mai, in me, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, sarvam idam protam. Idam means this. We'll talk about this today. Sarvam idam, everything in me is protam. Protam, sutre mani gana. Sutre mani gana, just as in the thread, sutra is thread, mani gana means pearls. So just as pearls are held together by a necklace, Pirona bolte na, when they make holes in the pearls and put the thread through, that's why this protam is come here. So just as the thread is put through the pearls or a gold chain, and then the necklace is made, and the gold chain or the thread supports all the pearls, so similarly, I am the thread that supports this whole universe. So we'll talk about this shloka from two levels, the highest level and the simpler level where we are at. So beyond the Lord. So what does he mean by beyond me? There is nothing. So I was reading, this commentator says, the sun is 93 million miles away. 93 million miles. And how long does the light take? 8 minutes to reach us. 186,000 miles per second the light travels. So it takes 8 minutes to reach 93 million miles. The nearest star to our sun is 4 light years away. 4 light years means in 1 year, light travels 5, 5,800 billion miles, not million, billion miles, and it takes 4 years for it to reach the nearest star, which is our neighbor. How about the solar system? We belong to the Milky Way. It takes 100 light years. So light traveling at 186,000 miles per second. For 100 years, when it travels, it reaches the furthest part of the solar system. You say, oh, wow, that's huge. And astronomers tell us, you know, our solar system is one of 2 trillion such solar systems. 2 trillion, not even million, billion. 2 trillion, and that is what we know so far, our microscopes. There are more that we can find. So can you imagine there are trillions and trillions of solar systems which have billions of stars, and each one of them has billions of planets and asteroids and comets, and who is holding all this together? How? And he says, I am beyond all this. Can you imagine what is this? It is, that's why he says there is nothing beyond me, and we are so insignificant. You know, we get so important. Oh, you know, without me, this won't work. Are, you know, it's just mind-boggling even to think of these numbers. That's why astronomy is such a fascinating. And this is nothing. There are dark holes in between planets which are so huge that billions of suns can get lost and not never come out. Their magnetism is so powerful that if any light wave goes there, it gets sucked in. Light even cannot come out. Who makes all this? And when you ask Bhagavan Sri Krishna, did you make all this? He says, yeah, this is just the beginning. Read more in this chapter. You will hear more of my glories. Very, you know, smilingly, very mischievously, he will say, I am the one who is supporting all this. I am the one who created all this. So that's why he says, beyond me, there is nothing. I extend beyond even the furthest planet, the furthest, even space, beyond space. It's really beautiful to think about his glory. That's why he says, Mattav parataram nanya. There is nothing beside me, O Arjuna. Then he says, Sarvam idam. So what is idam and what is aham? When you read Upanishads or any scriptures, they talk about two qualities, aham and idam. So aham means I, idam means this. So whatever you see as this is not me. So this chair, this man, this lady, this, you know, paper, this. Then how about this body? This body is also this, right? So this body is not me. This mind, this intellect, these vasanas, this ego. You know, now I am, you know, happy, and then my ego, then sometime I become unhappy. I like this person, I don't like this, I behave different. So that ego, this ego, so everything is not me. This body, this mind, this intellect, this ego, perceiver, feeler, thinker, these objects, emotions, thoughts, these vasanas, you know, my habits, my tendencies, you say. So anything is this, 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 this. So even what we think as I, this body, is not me. It is this, this body. So aham and idam. So what is aham? Aham is om. Aham is that consciousness. That alone I am. Everything else you can classify as idam. This, 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 this chair, this body, this mind, this intellect. So that's why he says, sarvam idam, whatever you call idam, that is all pervaded by me. How? Sutre mani gana eva. So let us talk about everything. So like atoms, we say, you know, everything is atoms. So all, everything is molecules, then molecules become atoms, then atoms become subatomic particles, protons, neutrons. So he says, I support them too. How do you support all of them? He says, I'm subtler than all of them. How? Because atom exists, right? You say atom is, or proton is, or neutron is, or electron is. So is means exists. So everything that exists is existence. It is existence which gives existence to this table, this book, this mic. So that existence is Bhagavan. That's why Bhagavan is said as Sat, Chit, Anand. Sat means existence. So whatever exists is Him. Whatever knows, it is Him. Existence, knowledge. Knowledge means whatever I know is because of that. And whatever anybody knows, anytime, anywhere, any place in the universe, whether it's in heaven or hell or even in Indra or everywhere, that knowledge is Bhagwan. That consciousness, Om, is Bhagwan. And the third is bliss. Bliss means joy. Whatever is the inner joy that these great souls experience when they become quiet and they become one with that, all three I am. So existence, consciousness, and bliss. Then, you know, children, you ask children or people will say, do you believe in God? So when somebody asks you, do you believe in God? You say, what is your idea of God? Who is God? And so we always think of God as this person, you know, Shivji in meditation or Krishna playing the flute or Jesus in the church. So what we say is that those are visible expressions that God, the Supreme Consciousness, has taken. And to understand God or to know how God functions, this shloka talks about the lower and the higher aspects of God. Actually, God is only one. There is only one. It's Advaitam. There are no two. But you and I are still at the level where we have this duality. You know, there is God and I serve Him, which is fine. To start out, everybody does that. And even after you have realized, this idea of servant of God should not go from us. So whenever I worship God, whenever I think of God, whenever I do anything, I say I am God's servant. And that should become a motto. You know, they have relationship of friend and child and beloved and all. But at the bottom line, whatever I am doing, I am God's servant. God has placed me. Wherever I am, whichever home I am in, whichever family I am in, whatever children have been given to me, they are given to me by God to take care of His world. So there is the lower aspect and the higher aspect. So when He says, Matav parataram nanyat kinchid asti, there is nothing beyond me, means everything I am. So like from, you know, all parts. They say they are all mud. Mud says, as far as I'm concerned, it's only one. One mud alone expressing as various parts, different shapes, colors, sizes. But in mud says, in me there are no parts. Mud alone I am. The parts are just an expression, just a temporary. So this whole universe came from God, from Brahman. So God says, I alone am. Actually, that alone is. The names and forms have been given by us. Just as to mud, we call it a cup or we call it a saucer or a plate or, you know, so those are all names. Or for gold, we call necklace, bangle. But gold says, I am one. I am not multiple. It's not multiple golds. There is one gold which expresses as different ornaments. One mud expresses, so one Brahman. So that is from the higher aspect where everything is Brahman. In the second aspect, where he says, I am the thread that holds this whole universe together, there is a little aspect of duality expressed by Bhagwan. Because now the pearls are different from the thread, right? The material of the pearl is different from the material of the thread or the gold chain. Then the pearls can be different sizes, different shapes, different colors, but the thread is one. The pearls are seen, the thread is unseen. Right? You can't see the thread, but you know that there is a thread, otherwise the necklace would break apart. So similarly, what they say is that in this duality, there is this spirit consciousness which is holding this whole universe. All our beings are held together. Not only that, but even in my body, my body, my mind, my intellect, all the 4 billion cells work in coordination. The kidneys do their job. The lungs do their own job. The heart does. The heart doesn't say, why do I have to work, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365, and the digestive system only gets to work for 4 hours or 6 hours. No, the heart says, that is my job. The lungs say that. So each system is doing its job, and who is holding it together? It is the consciousness. Just as the necklace is seen, but the thread is not seen. So similarly, the body, mind, and intellect are perceptible to us. I know my body, I know my mind, But the consciousness I do not see, but the fact that I am able to work, function and talk, that means there is this invisible thread of consciousness that is holding me together. So when they say lower and higher, so they say you start out with this idea that I am the BMI and there is God or consciousness, but slowly you grow to that everything is that consciousness. Just as there is mud alone in all the parts, gold alone in all the necklaces and all, so similarly Brahman alone is so inside. And so when I worship a particular form of God, I don't only worship them as in the temple or the church, but as inside me. So that slowly that student grows where he says, that we say, na antar bahish tat sarvam vyapta narayana tishthati. Narayana, the Lord, is not only outside, not only in Vaikunth, but in us. And so slowly, slowly you make that particular form all pervading. That, oh Krishna, you are everywhere. Everything I see is Krishna, or everything I see is Jesus, or everything I see is Mother, you know, Saraswati or Mother Goddess. So that is how you slowly expand your vision. And do not limit God to one particular form, one particular location, one particular quality. Yeah, there is one particular form of God I love more than others, but that God is infinite. So Raman Maharishi Ji gives a very beautiful example. He says that suppose you see a picture made out of thread, you know how they weave the thread. And so there is one thread which has been made into this whole picture. And in this picture there is, you know, a mountain, there is a river, there are trees, there is a sky, and there is a human, and there is a baby with his finger in his mouth on one side, and the child is, and the man is playing with that baby. Now what you do is you start unraveling. So you know the thread is tied at one end, you break the knot and you start pulling the thread. As you pull the thread, slowly, 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 you find the ground is disappearing. And then from the baby's mouth, the finger is gone, but the baby is still there. Slowly that disappears as you roll it into a ball, the mountains, the trees, the rivers. Everything merges into this one ball of different colors. So similarly, this whole universe, just as that whole picture is held together by one thread, similarly, this whole universe. I heard Kabir Das Ji has a very famous line. It's very funny. So he says, it's kind of pay attention. It's very funny. He says, Lehri dhunde leher ko, kapda dhunde soot, jeev dhunde brahm ko, tino oot ke oot. I'll explain it. It's very humorous. He says, Lehri dhunde leher ko. He says, the wave keeps on asking, have you seen the ocean? Where is ocean? Have you seen ocean? Won't you call them a fool? He says, yeah. And kapda dhunde soot. And the cloth is saying, where is thread? Where is thread? Have you seen thread? You will say, you are a fool. Similarly, jiva, when I say, I am looking for Brahman. Have you seen Brahman? Where is Brahman? One day, sometime in the future, when I am sitting in samadhi, and I'm in deep meditation, then Brahman will appear. You are equally foolish. He said, tu bhi oot hai. Oot in Punjabi and Hindi means an absolute duffer, fool. So he says, if you are looking for God, then you are as foolish as the cloth looking for thread or the wave looking for ocean. God is with you at all times. You are that. So understand that, function with that, and see the whole world as. That's why Ram Das Ji is a very famous saint in South India. He says, this world is God. World is not something separate from God. This world is, that IS has to be underlined. I think I put it in the last verse in the Rudra. So the world is God. So that is the essence of this verse, that beside me there is nothing, and I, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, when he says I, what he means, the I, the total consciousness. I support this whole universe. Now next he will tell us that Arjuna says, God, it's too difficult. You say you are that Brahman and you support everything and you are sustaining. Where am I? How am I to find you? You are so difficult. I can't see you. Somebody says, have you seen Brahman? No. Have you seen God? No, I have not seen. I have not seen. So where can I find you? How can I know you? So Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, okay, that's not enough that when I say everything, say, no, 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 that's not enough. He says, okay, I'll give you some examples. So the next three or four verses, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is giving examples where you can see me, where you can see God. So in verse number 8,